This podcast contains strong language and adult themes, so if that's not your cup of tea, go and find something else. But if it is, then we're happy to have you. So welcome. Da 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 da. Sting it at da 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 da. Sting it at da. I'm Holly, I'm single and I live in Manchester.
And I'm Jess, I'm a married mum of two and live in Devon.
Despite our differences, we are still the best of friends and we have been since the day we were born.
So welcome to our podcast, Two Kids and a Best Friend, where we discuss everything from night feeds to nights out, pop culture, embarrassing stories and confessions.
So we've had a week off, how do you feel?
I feel like I've missed you for a week. I feel like we've got so much to catch up on.
Even though we saw each other on the weekend and that's why we couldn't.
But I've missed our little catch-ups.
Me too.
Is this episode 10?
Episode 10. What the hell?
I can't believe we're here.
10 whole episodes.
How quick has that gone? I literally feels like yesterday we were sat Instagram messaging each other about setting up a podcast.
It's still something that we both enjoy, isn't it? And it was quite fun to piece together those bits that didn't quite make the cuts previously and listening to it back. They were brilliant.
Yeah, it was still a really good listen and it's stuff that I forgot we even spoke about.
It was good to do that. But obviously, in our absence, there are a lot of things that we would like to discuss this week. So do you want to kick things off?
I think we should start with you. So since we last spoke on here, so episode 8, you have run the Plymouth Half Marathon.
I have indeed. I've raised £2,120 for charity.
Oh, that's amazing.
For St Luke's Hospice in memory of my nan. And yeah, it was really, really tough. But the reason I giggled just then... Because I just remembered something.
Yeah.
You stood there cheering me on when I'm running up the hill at the end. That was the support that I needed to get me through the end.
I knew you needed that last push.
I was in pain. I was in so much pain.
Because you told me you wanted to do it in 220, didn't you? So when it hit the 220 mark, I was stood there waiting, waiting. And then it went on a little bit longer than that. And me and your mum were stood there and an ambulance go past with a stretcher. And your mum just looked at me and went, that's not a good sign, is it? And me and your mum would just crease, like, it wouldn't have been funny, but how funny would have it been if we just saw you coming past us on a stretcher?
But yeah, I ended up doing it in 2:35, so a lot longer than I anticipated.
I still think that's really good.
Yeah, so I'm really proud of it, and yeah, I guess on to the next challenge, whatever that may be.
Are you going to do it again?
I want to. Well, I've entered the ballot for the London Marathon, so call me.
I really hope that you get picked.
Well, what was the first thing I said to you afterwards? I said...
I ain't doing it. I'm putting my name back in.
I've entered the ballot for the London Marathon and now I'm shitting myself that I'm actually going to get picked. And yeah, fingers crossed I don't. But no, it is a once in a lifetime thing. People, they've had a record number of people sign up this time for the London Marathon. And obviously it's in a year's time. So we'll see what happens. That would give me a
you'll
year
have a
to
lot
train,
of training. Yeah, you'll have a lot of training time.
It would be just my luck that, you know, there are people that have been putting their name in the hat for years and years and years that are like proper runners. And then the first time I bloody sign up, I'll get into it. And I'll be running the London Marathon and I'll be there going, damn it.
Yeah.
Why did I have to get picked?
Literally. You really inspired me, and it made me like seeing. So when I was stood watching everyone go round, it was, I kept like crying. I don't know if just because I'm very hormonal, but it was just making me really emotional, like seeing people come around and their family spotting them, cheering for them, like for that last final push. I was getting all emotional, and I was like, I think I really want to do this next year. And then I saw you and I was like, should we do it together? And at that point you were like, I'm never doing this again, you know, like. It reminded me of after you give birth and you're like, I'm never going to do it again. And then a couple of days after, you're like, oh, I probably would. So like you inspired me and I thought, oh, I want to do it. And until I found out about your toenails, and that has completely put me off.
Right. Well, let's just hope that Harry Styles isn't listening to our podcast, because I wouldn't want to put him off me, obviously. But yeah, when I ran Bristol 10K, I actually ran it in your trainers.
Did you? Which ones? What, the pink Nike ones? The pink and grey Nikes.
Because the pink and grey Nikes. And let me tell you, stealing them off you, this is the karma that I got. Because I ended up staying at your house after your hen do in England. And if you remember, I was sick up your Auntie Hayley's wall as I was leaving after they'd got me hammered on rosé. And then I was sick in my handbag in the taxi. Because I was like, don't get charged £50 for soiling the taxi. And I had your Christmas present in the bag, in that bag, which was a Peter Pan pajamas. I bought saw in Primark. And I'd been sick all on them. And then they had to go straight in the wash. But obviously, I vomited all over my clothes that was in that bag. And I think I was wearing heels at that point. So to go home and you gave me those trainers.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, when I got into running and stuff, I was like, do you know what? I'm actually going to wear these. And that was when I signed up for the Bristol 10K. This was in 2019. But
you know, the thing is, aren't you a size 6? I'm a 5. You're a 6.
But sometimes in trainers, I'm 5.5. So they're fine. Okay. They fit me. But not to run 10K in. Do you know what I mean? Because you're putting pressure on your toes, like, constantly, on the front of your toes. And it must be as well the way I run. I don't know. But anyway, I lost almost all of my toenails after wearing those shoes.
So when you say you lost all of your toenails, do they just fall off? Like, or do you pick them off? Or, like, what happens?
Right, okay. Well, this is where we're going to need to put a gag warning in place and just tell people that are squeamish to kind of skip forward about 30 seconds. Basically, they kind of go black and the skin around the nail kind of gets a bit swollen. And that's like, basically, it's like a blister. So, first of all... Speaking of, I just felt it wiggle then.
Don't.
you get the, honestly, you squeeze the goop out, and then after that, it's not black anymore. And then.
What do you mean?
Literally,
goop?
All you need to do is pull the nail, and it does, and it goes like a click. Well, it's sort of like blister fluid, like what you get in a blister. And then your nail just sort of goes click and comes off.
So after the 10K, you lost all 10 nails.
Yeah, and you should have seen the goop that came out from the big toes. Oh, that was the worst.
And how long did they take to grow back?
Too long. You don't realise how slow your toenails grow.
For ages, you just have... Stop it. So how many have you lost since running the half?
There's only one, and this is the only one this time that I think I'm going to have issues with, because it was sore straight away. So last night I squeezed the goop out, and I can feel it's almost ready to ping off.
God.
So I've got to make sure that no one sucks on my toes this weekend. Or ever, because they're minging anyway.
They listen to this, they certainly won't be.
I do want to give a shout out to my family who had those personalised signs made and t-shirts and everything. It was just phenomenal support, and you know, I had pictures of my nan on them, and it was really lovely motivation. I honestly don't think I've ever felt so loved in my entire life. It was just wonderful. But I tell you who else was there, which I love to see. Ella. You brought Ella with you.
Yes.
And she was just absolutely adorable. And even though it started to rain and I took her out the pram, and she never usually cries when I cuddle her. She's usually like the smiliest baby, but she started crying and I was like...
As soon as I passed her to you, she just went... like that. She was not happy, but to be fair, she had been like waiting, but we were waiting for like 45 minutes down that bottom bit for you, and it's hard to keep a baby entertained in the pram, so I kept like giving her food and her sitting there. I think she was fed up by the time you had finished, to be honest. So I picked her out at the pram at one point, and she looked at Andy, your ex, and smiled and went dada. And I was like, no, not dada. Definitely not dada. Can you imagine if that was the case? Be an interesting story.
Paternity test is ordered. So, enough about me and my gammy toes. Tell me about your week.
Oh my God. So, I have to talk about the funniest story about a vibrator. So basically, my vibrator broke, or whatever, ages ago. No, I lost a decent one. I don't know how you lose a vibrator, but I did. It's probably in the house somewhere, like under the bed or whatever.
I'm terrified that somehow George has found it and it's like in his toy box.
No, don't. So I've got a story about that. So one day, this was years ago, Ollie's mum came to look after George for us, and basically our bedtime routine is George is in our bed, so Ollie most of the time can't cope with me and George in the bed because George is like pushes him out, so Ollie either sleeps on the sofa or sleeps in George's bed. So when it comes down to sex, we do not have sex in a bed. So sorry to anyone who ever comes over to my house, but sex is downstairs on the sofa, basically. That is our sex life. So anyway, we had obviously had sex the night before and my vibrator was there. And when we left it down there, and then the next day, Ollie's mum came over and she picks up the vibrator and she goes, "What's this?" Like that. And Ollie goes, "Oh, I think it's some kind of lipstick," like that. And then she was like, "It's not, is it?" And Ollie was like, "Yeah, it's just a lipstick," and like snatched it off her and hid it. And she was like, "What is that, Ollie?" And he just laughed and said, "Oh, it's a vibrator." And she was like, "Oh, like I touched it. Oh my God." And then I came downstairs and I was like, "Lucy, didn't you know what a vibrator was?" And she was like, "No." I was like, "Have you never used a vibrator?" She was like, "No." I was like, "Lucy, you need to get yourself one of them. It will enhance your sex life completely." And she was like, "Oh, I might have to do that." I haven't actually caught up with her since, so I'm going to have to find out if she ever got one. I'm sure she would have told me if she did, because she would have thanked me. So I'm going to have to get back on her.
Maybe that's where your missing one's gone.
So anyway, it went missing, Lucy. I'm going to have to chase her up on that. So it's gone missing. So we got like in a panic one day, a really shitty one from like, must have been like Poundland or some, or like Tesco or something like that. It was like this really small purple one. So anyway, I think I went to use it the other day and the batteries were dead. So I kept changing the batteries and nothing was working. So I was like, "Oh, gonna have to order a new one." So I knew the one that I had from Ann Summers, but it was on Amazon for a bit cheaper. So I ordered it off Amazon. So it comes in its box and I unpack it, and it's meant to have 10 vibration settings. So I start pressing the buttons and I'm like, it does one vibration, two vibration, and then just turns off. So I keep doing it and it's not working, and I'm like, "Ollie, I've paid 20 quid for this and it's only got two vibration settings." He was like, "Jess, it's fine, like you don't really use it that much anyway." I was like, "I've paid for 10 settings, I want my 10 settings like that. So I'm getting really annoyed. So anyway, I get onto Amazon then, don't I? Because I'm like, oh, for God's sake. So I'm trying to request a refund to say it's faulty, but it keeps bouncing back saying this item is non-refundable because, well, obviously you can't return a vibrator, can you? So I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Like, it doesn't bloody work. I want my 10 settings. So I like press help and it's like, would you like to chat to an agent? So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to, aren't I? So anyway, I've got the screenshot. So let me read out what I said. So it says, why are you returning this? So I've put, hello, this vibrator is supposed to have 10 vibration settings, but only has two. Like that. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm writing this in. So anyway, they send me to an agent. So I say, I've received this item and it doesn't work. I understand it's not returnable, but what should I do if I've received a faulty item? So somebody called Maz has joined the chat. So it goes, hello from Amazon, I'm Maz. I'll be glad to help you today. I apologize for the inconvenience caused. It must be very frustrating.
And I'm... yeah, sexually.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is just mortifying, isn't it? I'm just going to have to go with it now. So then she goes, or she or he, I don't know, is Maz a boy or girl's name? Hopefully girl, because she would have got it. So she says, please do not worry. I'm here to help and provide you with the solution. Please allow me a moment while I check this for you. And then they go, I can help you with a refund. On this occasion, we do not require you to return the original. It must be a girl, because if that was a boy, they might have asked for the original. Then they go, would you like to refund to your original method or gift card? So I say original method, please. They go, thank you for confirming. Refund issued successfully. And I think, oh, brilliant, that's it. And then it comes back, refund. And they write out the whole name of the vibrator. £15 for Anne Summers Slimline Slender Bullet Vibrator for Adults. 4-inch small vibrator with smooth finish. 10 vibration speed settings. Waterproof. Rose gold. Will be refunded to your Visa within 5 to 7 business days. I just left the chat.
I just know that it made that Maz's day in the office. They were absolutely howling over that. I just know that.
It's just the length of that, and it's, oh, the 4-inch small, smooth finish, 10 vibration speed settings. I was like,
rose gold.
Rose gold. Ollie was like, for God's sake, I can't even look at that. It's giving me the ick. I was like, and then, do you want to know the worst thing? So I pass it to Ollie and he goes, oh, you're just meant to hold it down a bit longer. It does have all 10 seconds. I can't go back now, so I've taken the refund. Okay, so in other news this week, my house is back on the market.
Woohoo!
It is just, I tell you what, anyone who's ever sold a house just knows how stressful it is. Potentially, I haven't told you about the second one yet, but I've got 2 potential houses that I like now. So obviously, back in the day, you know, back to like, was it episode 1 or 2, where I talked about posting letters to houses. So one of the houses that I posted to came back.
No.
Yeah, so as if I didn't stalk that house on Rightmove already, sent me all the details and said, you know, I went to sell my house 18 months ago. It fell through twice. Like, I sold it twice, it fell through, and then I've just given up, and I'm going to potentially try again next year, but I'm like open to selling. So me and Ollie went and had a look at the house. And, you know, the first thing I saw when I saw the photos was it has like an outbuilding with electricity in it. And I was like, oh, that could be my podcast studio. We could get a right little nice setup in there. So I was like to Ollie, we're going to have this house.
I've decided that I need a Saturday job. Because I haven't got enough money. I need to earn more money, and I'm struggling each month. So I told my mum about it, because she said about you know, potentially me getting a Saturday job and stuff. So I told her, I thought, oh, she'd be really proud of me that I've actually managed to get myself a Saturday job. She texted me saying, have you ever thought about joining the Navy?
What?
And I thought, could you imagine me in the Navy?
Why on earth would she, like, what a career jump, like, journalist to Navy enlistee, like.
Yeah, but I'd probably get a better pension, higher pay, and get to travel. That's what she's thinking. But listen, we're about to probably go into World War III. I don't want to be in the Navy.
I'm sorry, Holly, but you are not Navy material. Could you imagine someone shouting at you and telling you what to do? You'd be gobbing off.
Now, there's been a lot going on in the world of the celebs. So, we are going to have another episode of Gavin and Stacey.
Oh my god, honestly, the first thing I thought when I posted it on Instagram was the quote, well, it's the last thing I expected to see on my way to work in the morning.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite episodes, actually, when he finds that dead body and goes on to the news, and he just has that one line and they think he's gonna be interviewed for like half hour. I think it could be my all-time favorite program. Like, I don't know if I could name anything that beats Gavin and Stacey.
It's so good. And obviously a few years back we had the Christmas episode and everyone went nuts for that because it was like the first episode in such a long time.
Yeah,
the rumors have been swirling for a little bit that we would get another Christmas special, because obviously that last one ended on such a cliffhanger.
Earlier this year, Ruth Jones did a interview and they asked her about it, and she like shut down all rumors and was like, no, like, you know, I haven't spoken to James, there's nothing in the works at all. And everyone was like gutted. So like, I think that was a good little red herring, really, to throw people off. And then for that to come out was just the best thing ever. Like, Britain just loves Gavin and Stacey, don't they? I think the last one had more viewers than like the Queen's speech or something.
What else have we got then?
So it's not really celeb gossip, but it's a trending topic at the minute. I have finished watching Baby Reindeer. What a show.
I honestly think it's one of the best things Netflix has ever made.
I couldn't believe that the person who starred in it was the one who it actually happened to.
Yeah.
Like, having to relive all of that. I remember watching it in like the first couple episodes. I started to get a bit bored in the first couple episodes because, like, oh, this is dragging on a bit, like, it's a bit boring. It's just like, why is everyone raving about it? It's just about a stalker. Like, this is just a bit like far-fetched. And then it got to the episode where he was with the man getting like doing drugs in his house, and I was like, oh god, why is he showing us just his drug addiction? Like, this is like, I'm getting bored now. And then the rape happened and I was like, oh my god. And then it just like completely turned, and I was like, I get it all now, why he's showing all this and why it's going in this direction. But it made me feel so uneasy.
People have said to me that it's the most like disturbing thing they've ever watched, and I think yes, in a way, but I think it was a story that kind of needed to be told in a way that, like, it goes to show the situations you find yourself in when you're really vulnerable and you look for validation and stuff from people,
and
the
that's
wrong people.
What I think he wanted off Martha as well, because he was like, I do think he, I don't know, people might not agree with me, but I do think he egged it on a little bit.
He totally did. Yeah, he totally did.
He completely egged it on, and I think that didn't help the situation, because do you remember when I had a stalker in secondary school?
Yeah.
And I think back to that now, and you know what everyone's like when you're in school? So there was this guy, and he obviously had like mental problems, but everyone, like, when you were younger, especially in this day and age, like, take the piss, don't you? So he fancied one of my friends in school, and like, I, like, along with everyone else, egged him on a bit. And then he like kind of slightly moved on to me, and I egged it on because I thought it was funny. So everyone, he used to write songs for me, but then it got to a point where he showed up to my house. I can't remember how he got my address, whether someone gave it to him or what, but he showed up to my house and me and my friend were there, and we were just like, you know, oh, go away, blah blah blah, like it was funny. And then it got too far and I started getting really creeped out about it, but everyone in school kept egging him on. So everyone in school kept telling him, oh, Jess fancies you, she's just playing hard to get and stuff like this. And it got to a point, right, where I went to a party one night, and me and this boy was walking me home from the party. It wasn't too far from my house, and we were walking down my street, and there was like this shadow outside of my house, and then we get closer and closer, and then it just runs past us, and it was him. Oh my god, this was at like midnight. I was like, this has gotten too far now. So I remember going into school and going to like my head teacher or like head of year or whatever and telling them like, this is what's happened, it's like getting too far now. And he ended up, something happened, like there was rumors that him and his sister were incest or something, and they got removed from school or like some weird stuff happened and he left. And I don't know what happened to him now, actually, I haven't searched him, but sometimes memories come up on Facebook of like his songs to me on Facebook. So like he used to write songs and put them on Facebook to me, and I can see everyone commenting like, oh, like she loves it and stuff like that. And now I'm older, I feel really bad about it, because obviously when you're young and naive and you think things are funny and you take the piss out of people, don't you? Now I think back to it and I think, god, like I feel really bad for, first of all, egging them on, but also when you're that age, I liked the attention, I liked the fact that everyone was talking about it. Not that I liked the guy, because he was a bit strange, but I did like the attention of everyone, like people from like different year groups coming up to me and being like, oh, Jess, like, and talking about it and everyone finding it funny. And so I kind of get a little bit why someone at first, before it gets too serious, would entertain it a little bit.
Yeah, and I think if you're getting this intense affection from somebody, and if you're in a position where you're not really getting that anywhere else, potentially it can be seen as flattering. You've got someone complimenting you, making you feel really special. I think that's what he was trying to get across. And but I think what's crazy as well is that, you know, there are so many people, we're not going to say a name on the podcast for ethical reasons, but people have found who they suspect to be the real Martha, obviously under a different name.
I mean, he didn't try and hide it, did he? He casted someone who looked exactly like,
yeah, we go into great lengths to hide her identity. Well, lots of the script lines she had put on Twitter like years ago and said to him and she writes exactly the same way as the person in the show, like with her tweets and stuff,
and she looks the
and
same.
There's so many, yeah, there's just so many parallels. And so Google her name, it does come up with other people she stalked, which she does reference in the program as well. So we've obviously got an unwell woman. Potentially she's not anymore. Maybe she was back then. But again, this is going back to like speculation on the internet and how it can go quite far, because she's obviously quite vulnerable herself. And I just think it's a bit scary that the internet is like basically hounding her now.
Yeah, I know. Like the internet can find out anything. Absolutely anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And I don't think that he was expecting that someone was going to go through 10 years worth of tweets to find her. But anyway, there's also a lot of speculation at the moment on who plays on the real guy, the real rapist.
Oh, is there?
And someone who has got a lot of accusations thrown his way has now taken legal action against people that have put what he says is false information out there. And also he's resigned from his job. So it sounds like that's really upended his life.
Oh, God.
Richard has denied that this guy was the person.
Yeah.
He said, you know. But again, the show is it's a massive show now. It's got worldwide attention. And it's just crazy that, I think when you're telling sensitive stories like that, that are true stories, there needs to be more work done to conceal these people's identities.
Definitely. They definitely did not try and conceal that very well. Don't underestimate the power of people on TikTok and Twitter and anything.
So, we have got a confession.
I don't know what I was going to say then. I went to say something. I just went...
You were like... So, this one is pretty grim.
Oh my God.
So strap in.
Read it out.
Hi, girls. I'm really enjoying the podcast. It brightens my gloomy Mondays. I have a very embarrassing story for you that I've never told anyone. A number of years ago, my friend bought their first house, and it needed a lot of work doing to it. And although it was like a construction site, we decided we wanted to celebrate the huge milestone in her life. So I went round with a few bottles of wine and we hammered the Pinot Grigio until the early morning, and I crashed in her bed with her. I woke up a few hours later, the birds were chirping and it was just starting to get light outside. My stomach started to cramp. Ah yes, it was a case of the alcohol shits. Whenever I get drunk, the first thing the next day, the first thing I need to do is go for a poo. So I get up and I run to the bathroom as quick as possible, and oh, thank God I made it. Before I knew it, the shit flew out of me like... the shit fired out of me like a cannon. Before I had the chance to wipe, I had a heart-stopping revelation as I saw the bucket beside me. Then I remembered. When I had arrived, she told me that the downstairs toilet was the only working one, with the upstairs loo for wheeze only. So the bucket was there to flush down... to flush down the wee. Tired, hungover, and in a panic, I put my hand in the toilet and grabbed my massive shit with my bare hands and threw it into the bin in the corner of the room. It happened so fast, I barely had the time to think. I looked at my hand in horror. What the fuck had I just done? I had actually gripped my own shit. I scrubbed my hands with soap while thinking of what to do next. I tried to avoid eye contact with myself in the bathroom mirror. I couldn't leave it in this bin for all to see. So in another panic, I tied up the bin bag in a knot and ran downstairs out the back door to the brown bin and disposed of the evidence. I then went to the downstairs toilet to wipe my arse and wash my hands again before creeping back upstairs and drifting off to sleep like nothing ever happened.
Oh my God. But the first thing that has come to my mind, right, is aren't like beer poos usually like runny or whatever the next day? So they were lucky that that shit didn't splatter everywhere.
But it was still a turd. Oh, this episode's been disgusting all round. We've had shit, we've had toenails falling off.
Oh God, honestly, that is hilarious. Oh my God, that just, I would have died inside. I'd absolutely died inside. So, questions of the week. We have had a couple of questions in this week from one of our male listeners.
I can't believe men actually listen.
I know, I love it. Or do I really? I
mean,
what are they listening to? It's not great, is it? So, first question. Does size matter?
This is such a man question. I bet whoever sent this in has got a small penis. On to the next question. Sorry, I'm just sat next to my cactus here. I'm just looking at my cactus that's next to me.
Look at it.
It's very phallic.
Oh my God. Oh, for God's sake. Right, next question. Do women go out looking for a shag like men do?
No, absolutely not. I'm out. If I go out, I go out to enjoy my time with my friends.
So is that just a man thing? Because do you think men... So do men do that? They go out and they just think, I want to shag tonight.
Yeah. I think men think that all the time, yes.
Yeah. Do you think any woman do?
I think so.
Or do you
so.
Think it's a universal...
I think
Do you think
so.
It's a universal thing?
I think some women do. I think it's more men than women. I think women just think, well, they can just come home to their slimline rose gold. 10 setting.
Much better.
So, obviously, they are the most male written questions. Not surprised, but thank you for listening to our podcast. We aim to please.
I am glad that a man feels comfortable enough to ask us for our advice, Holly.
And me too.
So that is the end of episode 10. Thank you so much to everyone who's listening.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars wherever you're listening to your podcasts and tell your mates about us. We want more people to listen to this so we can get our podcast studio.
And we want your confessions. The ruder, the dirtier, the better.
Email 2kidsandabestfriend@gmail.com or contact us on our socials, TikTok.
TikTok-toe.